This is The Guardian.
Today, who are Reform UK and why do they want to destroy the Conservative Party?
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
They say they want to obliterate the Tories in the next general election. That they will lure disillusioned voters to their message and make Britain great again. The party chaired by Nigel Farage, but currently led by a man few people have heard of, is promising to shake up the electorate with hardline views on immigration, climate change, and the apparent scourge of socialism sweeping the country.
The Tories have become like the Labour Party. Two sides of the same socialist coin. We've got record high taxes, we've got record high wasteful government spending, and yet disastrous outcomes.
Reform UK may yet be a tiny outfit, run more like a business than a political party, but the threat they pose to mainstream political debate and to the shape and strength of the Conservative Party, well, that could be massive. And they have the Tories worried. From The Guardian, I'm Nosheen Iqbal. Today in Focus, Reform UK, how the Populist Party could shake up the next election. Ben Quinn, you're a political correspondent for The Guardian, and you've had the unenviable job of covering the political fortunes of Reform UK over the past few months. Let's begin with the basics. Who are they?
So Reform UK grew out of the Brexit Party, and the Brexit Party grew out of what was UKIP as well, the political party which really became dominant on the back of Nigel Farage's leadership. It's difficult to know how big the party is. Certainly during the noughties and the whole period building up to Brexit, people will remember UKIP actually grew into quite a movement.
Nigel Farage celebrating once again. It's becoming a familiar sight, and to other party leaders, a pretty unwelcome one. But he's loving it.
And the People's Army that support UKIP, despite shed loads of abuse that have been thrown at us over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks, went out, voted UKIP.
Reform UK, on the other hand, have kind of yet to show their hand in terms of that kind of movement. But nonetheless, it is a party which is averaging between 7 and 10% in polls for what it's worth. So it does have the potential to actually maybe replicate what UKIP and what the Brexit Party became.
So Reform is a party that's been founded out of the ashes of Brexit itself, which came from UKIP. Nigel Farage, as you've told me, is at the helm. But can you tell me a bit more about who else is involved?
Nigel Farage is at the helm. Its leader officially at the moment is Richard Tice, who's a property investor. So Richard Tice is someone who really doesn't have that much of a profile in the public's mind. He's somebody who's been in business, and he very much makes a virtue of that. I'm not a politician. I'm somebody who hasn't come from Westminster. I've got clean hands. Like others involved in Reform, has begun to dip their toes in journalism. So he was a television presenter for Talk TV before moving on to GB News.
A very warm welcome to Britain's favourite Sunday sermon with me, Richard Tice, on GB News. Amongst the many challenges we face in the UK and indeed in the Western world, I believe that the two most significant looking forwards is mass migration and the obsession with net zero.
People like Anne Widdecombe, formerly of Strictly Come Dancing, and previous to that, a Conservative MP. And then we have people like Ben Habib, who's the deputy leader. He's a former Brexit party MEP who was a businessman. So it's part of that nexus of people at the moment who are essentially trying to find a purpose post-Brexit.
Well, before we come on to what that purpose is, can you tell me how the party is structured? Because it's not a conventional setup, is it?
So Reform UK was founded in November 2018. It does have a slightly odd structure. It is registered on Companies House, where it has 15 shares. And we're led to understand that Nigel Farage owns the majority of those shares. He's listed on Companies House as a person of significant control. And it leads to a strange situation whereby the leader of the party is Richard Tice, and Nigel Farage is in a continual state of will he or won't he return as leader of Reform UK.
So despite insisting he won't take over again when it suits him, there's still an expectation that we might have to contend with Nigel Farage yet again in the next general election.
He is someone who is clearly assessing his chances of getting elected again. But by all accounts, the polling seems to suggest that a return of Nigel Farage would put rocket boosters on Reform's threat to the Conservatives. Whether they would win any seats in the back of that is another matter, but it would certainly leverage their sort of appeal to voters. If he does come back, it may be in a different form from the way in which he led UKIP and the Brexit Party. If he comes back this time, they see him as a battering ram who would take on the lightweights of Starmer and Sunak, or as they see them in leaders' debates, and would be able to rove around the country and appeal to people.
So there is this persistent idea that Nigel Farage has a lot of public appeal, but he has failed to become an MP seven times, and so there is this sense that the party that he co-founded and is currently chairman of, Reform UK, of course, that he doesn't want to come back and lead because he's potentially worried about losing again.
There is that. He's also, well, he tells us, enjoying things. He's been in the jungle eating kangaroo testicles.
So having a lovely time.
Yes. And, he does seem to be someone who actually has eased into a broadcasting role and does seem to quite enjoy being in GB News. But yeah, there's the lure of politics. He's clearly somebody who enjoys politics, but he's equally somebody who only likes to be involved with things when he can be the leader.
So Ben, where does this leave the Reform Party's current leader, Richard Tice? Because it sounds like at the moment he's kind of a caretaker.
It leaves Richard Tice in an awkward position, and it leaves him in a position where he's constantly asked about this at every press conference he comes to.
Yes, sir. If you are, Carl Dinham from ITV News, if you are the only way to save Britain from economic and cultural collapse, why is Nigel Farage having so much trouble making up his mind what party he's going to play?
He's not having trouble making up his mind. He's taking his time. He's working it all out. There's a variety of things, and there are various logistical issues. He's got other commitments. We've all got commitments. Yeah.
Ben, what is Reform's central message? What are they about?
Well, Reform might say their central message is common sense. Other things that they would say they stand for was hostility to the socialism of not just Labour, but also the Conservative Party.
So they're branding the Conservatives as socialists?
Oh, very much so. This is an out-of-touch, metropolitan, elite, cosmopolitan, high-spending, high-taxing Conservative Party, which has unmoored itself from its Conservative roots. So they're deeply worried about that. They're also deeply worried about something called Starmageddon, which is coming to a village, town or city near you at any stage in the next 12 months.
We are facing a catastrophic cocktail of economic incompetence and cultural pillage that would be a disaster for the United Kingdom. Because, of course, in every Labour government, every socialist way, they want more taxes. They want to take more of your money. Unbelievably, they want to get closer to the failing, sclerotic, recessionary European Union. We've just left it, and thank God we have.
Well, tell me more about this common sense. What does common sense look like for Reform? What are they for? What are they against?
One of the most eye-catching one might be what they describe as net zero immigration. And that means that the number of people legally allowed to enter or live and work in the UK each year should equal the number emigrating. So the overall population would actually remain approximately the same. What that means for people who run care homes, the NHS, companies and businesses, the length and breadth of the UK, means what it means for them is another matter altogether. And also how you actually enforce that policy is something which is open to question.
For all of us, the quality of life and our relative prosperity has declined. It's obvious, isn't it? If you don't build the extra capacity and you stick another 10 million people in a country, then it's going to be a little bit harder to get around.
It might also mean scepticism about climate change in some forms. It certainly does mean scepticism about what Reform UK and, in fact, some Tory backbenchers would see as a rush towards making working class people and middle class people shoulder the burden of the transition to net zero. And also, they stand very much for the need to push back against the betrayal of the promise of Brexit and the rush towards the sunlit uplands, which we were all promised would be just within reach if we were to embrace departure from the European Union.
Where would you place them on the political spectrum? Where do they sit? How would you describe them?
Some people might call them far right. Others would call Reform a populist party of the right. Certainly parties like the British National Party and others such as Patriotic Alternative fit more neatly into the categories of what far right is, but Reform owe more to recent political parties in continental Europe, such as the AfD in Germany, and maybe even the reinvented Le Pen brand of nationalism in France as well.
It really does give you a flavour of what we're talking about when there's slight nuanced arguments about whether this is far right or just very, very right. That gives you a sense of what Reform UK are about, I'd say.
Well, that's true. I mean, this is not a party which talks about blood and honour, and they don't even use language such as that of Donald Trump recently, who talked about the blood of America being polluted. So you don't get that sort of language. They do make a point of, there are occasional glimpses of the fact that there is something about them which is not of the mainstream. You actually might find a lot of conservative backbench MPs, particularly at the moment, who are perhaps even more right-wing than Reform on many of the issues of the day as well.
Well, it takes me quite neatly to ask you, who are they for? Who are they trying to target?
They want to target the people who they feel are disillusioned with the Conservative Party, but they don't just want to stop there as well. They feel that the Labour Party is a party which has betrayed its roots as well. And there was a period in which UKIP was a threat to Labour as well and succeeded in drawing a lot of voters away from them. But most pollsters, most commentators would view Reform now primarily as a threat to the Conservative Party, particularly in the red wall, to use that terrible term, seats of the north. And in fact, the 2019 general election, on which Boris Johnson won that something majority, is one in which the Conservative Party came to power on the back of a broad coalition of voters. And many of them were people who had voted for Brexit. Many of them were former Labour Party voters. So these are people who are in some ways up for grabs. And they are people who Reform want to pick up.
Ben, but as I understand it, they're still pretty tiny and a lot of people don't believe they have any real chance of winning many, if any, seats in the upcoming general election. Do they really pose a threat?
So they do pose a threat. They pose a threat because they could split the vote on the right, even while not getting any MPs themselves. And that's hugely important to Rishi Sunak's hopes of trying to just go for a score draw with Labour as well. But actually, recent polling put Reform in third place behind Labour and the Conservatives, and they put them in 11%, pushing back the poor old Lib Dems. So that is a bit of a rerun, or it's beginning to get into that territory of UKIP coming and snapping at the Conservatives' heels.
Well, if we cast our minds back to the 2019 election, back then the Brexit Party struck this informal sort of backdoor arrangement with Boris Johnson's Tories, which meant that they wouldn't stand Brexit Party candidates in safe Tory seats, and so wouldn't risk splitting the right-wing vote of that constituency and instead focus their efforts on denigrating Labour seats. But Richard Tice doesn't seem to be playing as nice this time. Can you tell me more?
So Richard Tice is on record as saying that he wants to destroy the Conservative Party and there will be no deals under any circumstances. So he's not playing nice this time. Why? Well, one scenario is that those in Reform believe that the Conservatives have to be utterly destroyed before a true party of the right can be constructed from its ashes. So the Labour Party and the Conservatives is interchangeable. So while in the past, and this is probably key, the Brexit Party would have said, we are standing aside to help the Conservatives beat Jeremy Corbyn. In this case, the Conservatives are just as bad as Labour. So we have to vanquish both. We have to destroy the Conservatives in order to start again.
That's quite the message.
It is, actually. And, it leads to all sorts of interesting future scenarios. So in a post-general election scenario, you might see a Conservative Party which has been utterly decimated. And there would be a scenario in which those on the right within the Conservative Party would merge with the Reform Party. Actually, there's a model for this in Canada. In the noughties, the Canadian Conservative Party was so utterly destroyed that it ended up merging with another party, funnily enough, called Reform, which was a party off the right in Canada. And they came back eventually even stronger and to power as well. So there is a long game which is being played here.
Coming up, how worried are the Conservatives about the influence and the reach of Reform UK?
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ben, Reform UK say they'll be standing Ben Habib, who is their deputy leader. They'll be standing him as a candidate in the upcoming Wellingborough by-election, a place where UKIP came second in votes in 2015. Now, Reform are clearly up for a fight with the Tories. How's that going down?
So there are Tory MPs who have said they really wish that Reform wasn't standing in their constituency or wasn't breathing down their political neck. Miriam Kitts is one of those people who said that. But equally, those same people are people who are very often on the right of the Conservative Party, on Rishi Sunak's right. And in some ways, Reform UK is a useful tool which they can use to actually try and put a bit of pressure on Sunak as well to change tack on things like immigration or net zero or anything else where Reform UK is trying to park its tanks on the Conservatives' lawn.
Well, where can we see the impact of this? Where have Reform and Nigel Farage had an impact on government policy?
Nigel Farage has had a big impact on the Conservative Party. You might actually credit him more than anyone else as being the architect of Brexit itself. It's a bit more difficult to discern what Reform UK's impact on government policy is because it's so early. And actually, the Conservatives have quite a hard line immigration some might say, gimmick in the form of the Rwanda plan. But they are in danger of being outflanked by reform on many issues. It might be on culture wars, just a general exhaustion with a political party that's been in power for many decades, and people on the right looking for another alternative. And then there are also those people who see reform very much as an alternative to what they view as a high-spending conservative government. And we laugh when perhaps Richard Tice describes the current Conservative Party as a socialist party. But equally, Rishi Sunak is somebody who's had to necessarily, as he would see it, preside over large-scale tax increases in recent years. And we've had the pandemic and the need to basically reorganize the public finances and infrastructure to cope with that. But nonetheless, there are those on the right in this country who would have preferred an alternative, more libertarian approach to the pandemic and managing the public finances and beginning to cut taxes much sooner than the government plans to do. And it's in that space that Reform UK are squatting.
And actually, it's not just the Tories that they're giving a headache, because former Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell warned that reform even pose a threat to Labour, which listeners might think would be unlikely given how very right-wing their policies are. But what did McDonnell have to say?
McDonnell's message was that if a new Labour government failed in its early days to enact radical policies, you would have voters who would become disillusioned after many years of conservative rule with Partygate and various other failings. And those disillusioned voters would either not vote or actually would embrace just something else entirely. And that would likely be something on the radical right or even on the far right. And he also instanced how reform in that scenario would also be a major influence on a Conservative Party, which was reassembling itself and rising from the ashes, a Conservative Party which might even be led by Suella Braverman, or might even be one which has Nigel Farage as a member once again.
Well, what does it tell us about the state of British politics, or even the Conservatives at the moment, that this relatively small, obscure party, which doesn't even have Nigel Farage as leader, but that it's having an outsized influence on our politics?
It tells us that we're still in a period of flux, and the enormous changes which were brought about as a result of Brexit and before and after are probably still not ones that are in the rearview window at this stage. This is just an example of the same pattern which we're seeing playing out in every major European democracy and in America as well. We're seeing established political parties and their structures being broken down, and we're seeing insurgent or would-be insurgent populist parties continuing to bang the door. Potentially what we're seeing is a sort of a second coming of those populist parties. So while Donald Trump is the favourite to win the presidency in the US, according to some polls, in this country, can we really say that that type of populist tide is over? It's really something which is still very much in the air.
Ben, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
That was Ben Quinn, political correspondent at The Guardian. You can follow his reporting on Reform UK and more at theguardian.com. That's it for today. I'm Nasheen Iqbal. This episode was produced by Lucy Hoff. Sound design was by Solomon King. The executive producer was Huma Khalili. We'll be back again tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.